Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to Africa on the Move with your host, Brother African. Today we're going to deal with the issue of news that you can use. News that you can use. Recently, I ran across an article I'd like to share with you, and my guests will also be doing that, where it deals with this concept called master suppression technique. This article from Wikipedia, and it reads as follows. The master suppression techniques were framework articulated in the late 1970s by the Norwegian social psychologist Britt S. to describe five means by which, according to her, women are subjugated in patriarchal Western societies. Master suppression techniques are defined as strategies of social manipulation by which a dominant group maintains such a position in an established or unexposed hierarchy. They are very prominent in Scandinavian scholarly and public debates, where the expression is also used to refer to types of social manipulation not part of S framework. Master suppression techniques are sometimes called domination techniques. And here are the five original master suppression techniques according to her. The first one is making invisible. That is, to silence or otherwise marginalize persons in opposition by ignoring them. For example, another speaker takes something you have said as if it was an idea of their own, or starts speaking despite it being your turn. Another example is as it is your turn to speak, the other attorneys start to talk to each other, browse through their papers, etc. Excuse me. So this is how you make someone invisible. The second technique is ridicule. Ridicule means in a manipulative way to portray the argument of or the opponents themselves in a ridiculed faction. Some of the examples are another speaker laughs at your accent and compare you to a character in a humorous TV show, although you have something important to say, or they may, when making an accusation of wrongdoing against someone, you have been told that you look cute when you're angry. That was the sucker dick technique that they use when it comes to master suppression techniques, which is ridicule. Now let's go to the third technique. The third technique is double bind. To double bind means to punish or otherwise belittle the actions of a person, regardless of how they act. Here are some examples. When you do your work task thoroughly, you receive complaints for being too slow. When you do them efficiently, your critique for being sloppy. Another example of double bind is a man is critiqued for not helping out with domestic work, but is called unmanly when doing so. That was a double bind. That was the fourth technique. The fifth technique is heap blame or put to shame, which means to embarrass someone or to insinuate that they are themselves to blame for their position. An example of that is you inform your manager that you are being slandered, but are told it is your fault since you address provocatively. So these are five techniques, and she went on to add two more to it. The sixth one is objectifying, which means to discuss the appearance of one or more several persons in a situation where it is irrelevant. And an example she gave, well, she didn't get an example for that one. She went to the seventh one, which she called force or threat of force. And that means to threaten with or use one physical strength towards one or several persons. One example of this concept of force or threat of force is someone may use a word from you, and I'll smash your face. So that would be an example of force to threaten you for. So she gave some techniques that she says often apply to women, and is definitely applied in the area in the Scandinavian countries. One of the things I like to share with my audience is, do you think these techniques can also be applied to oppressive group, people of color, and outside of just women? I find that really interesting, and I find that to be a very commonality of techniques that has been used throughout the period of time of oppression period. With us tonight, we have Brother Hakeem. He can come and share with us some issues and ideas on news that we can use, something that he ran across recently. And we'd like to get you to ponder and think about some of these things that we'll discuss today. Brother Hakeem, welcome to Africa on the Move.
Hey, how you doing, Brother African?
Yeah, I'd just like to generally get your response to the five techniques, and really with seven, that people use in terms of suppression of a group of people or a group that is don't value as one of being equal. What's your take on her article on the various techniques that are used to suppress women as relates to making one invisible? You ridicule them. When you can't make them visible or ridicule them, you may apply the technique of withdraw information. You can double bind or just heap blame, so they're responsible for what happened. So what is your take on that, Brother Hakeem?
Yeah, well, I think in terms of those verbals that she laid down, I think they are peculiar to depression of women. I think they're peculiar to depression of people generally. I think if you look at the African experience in America, a lot of those things she alluded to also happen in America. For instance, when you start talking about making one invisible, that's something I think most African people can really identify with in terms of the notion that somehow what we feel, what we think, you know, has no relevance. You know, it's not important. And the whole is this is esoteric. The whole expression is esoteric. So, and one of the things is that back in the 80s, prior to the 80s, there was a situation in which we had a doctrine of balance. In other words, if you express one side of the political spectrum, you have to express another side of the political spectrum. Well, of course, when Reagan came to power, that doctrine was done away with. No longer would African people in society be in a position to actually be in a position use media to express their point of view. Those in power understood by not allowing African people to express their point of view, you simply, in effect, what you do is you render African people invisible. And that is the whole thing, because you have nothing to say, nothing that you can say been a consequence, so therefore, you know, we're justifying doing what we're doing. And when we're talking about both African men and women, just in terms of this notion in terms of blaming the victim. One of the things is that when we talk about our condition, our situation here in America, when African people talk about the situation here in America, you know, often it's implied the problems we have has nothing to do with social economics or has something to do with institutions, political institutions that exist. But in fact, it has something to do in terms of our innate inferiority in terms of, you know, our persona as human beings. And so that's done all the time. We have discussions in terms of, say, welfare. Inevitably, you know, when people think welfare, they think African people in America. They think welfare. Mm-hmm. But in fact, statistically, this most whites are on welfare, but you don't get that connotation by listening to the news or even hear people talk. And so the whole thing is geared toward making sure that African people are blamed for the situation they find themselves in. And more recently, this whole housing debacle that happened in terms of the overblown home mortgages. Now, you often hear a lot that African people were responsible for the whole housing debacle because we took out loans on houses that we couldn't afford. But nobody talks systemically in terms of what really happened in terms of, you know, these money market funds, these individuals who hit these market money funds, actually taking your mortgages, chomping it up, and selling your mortgage to many different people in the process, inflating the price, you know, as a consequence, bringing in lots and lots of money for themselves. And since they did that, the net result was they reaped a lot of money. The rights, be they legal or otherwise, wasn't a concern of those who are making money, because for them it's all about the bottom line. And even though this criminality has been well documented, only one person to date has went to jail for the scandal, and that's Lee Priscilla of Countrywide. He's the only individual who went to jail. But it's convenient for people to blame African people for that by simply saying that, you know, if only these African people wouldn't have applied for these homes they couldn't afford, this situation never would have occurred. And all too often, people swallow that line. Even some African people actually swallow that line. So I think, you know, when we think about the particular tenets in terms of going about oppressing people, I think those things that she laid down are apropos, but I think that they could just as easily apply to African people, male and female, in the context of America.
Most definitely concur with you. I just would like to discuss a few more points of emphasis that she made on a couple of characteristics of techniques where they use for oppression as relates to our people, so that people get a better sense of them when they see these techniques, they recognize actually what's really going on. And one of the techniques I would like to talk about is this question of ridicule, this question of ridicule us. And in terms of ridiculing us, I think, you know, one of the things that they have always claimed when it comes to us as African people is that we don't have the right to define things, or we don't have the right to even enter into certain discussions. There are certain ideas and issues for some reason or other, they have a category that we don't have the right to speak on. And when we speak on these issues, or just even bring them up, they look at you as if you are like, you know, we did something wrong. And I think this ridicule thing is really interesting, because I have seen from time to time how they do a lot of their so-called spokespeople, leadership, people in leadership, when they try to articulate issues and problems as relates to the conditions of our people. For example, in ridicule, where she used the definition that one example of ridicule is when making an accusation of wrongdoing against someone, you have been told that you look too cute when you're angry, or you know, why you are so angry. Have you heard that statement, like Brother Hackey, in the past, when brothers and sisters are articulating information and they go off on the tangents about, you know, why are you so angry? And they just throw off the whole issue of the essence of what they were trying to raise.
I think in the context of America, I think the way that process plays itself out is a little bit more subtle. It used to be where they do all, the derogatory terms, or being very patronizing in terms of how they address African people. But I think through time they become more sophisticated in how they do that. And I think the way in which they achieve that result is that certain issues you would never find African people expressing at all anyway. When it comes to economics, when it comes to finances, when it comes to technical stuff, you find that a lot of the time they only allow African people, irrespective of their intelligence, irrespective of their education, irrespective of their acumen, you find that they simply won't allow them to talk about them. We're relegated to talking about things like maybe social phenomenon. Maybe we talk about racism. Maybe we talk about violence among our people. But outside of that, by and large, all you get, you don't get African people or dark-skinned people talking about the much more technical, much more intellectual aspects of society. In the essence being that they want to project or promote this idea, in fact, that we're simply not suited to deal with those kind of subject matters. And that is the hope. So they do it a little bit differently. I think in terms of, just being patronizing, I think it's something in the past. I think it's just a bit more scientific in terms of how they go about achieving that same result.
Okay. Let's move on. Talk a little bit more about this technique about withholding information, which I think is something that goes on all the time, particularly in political system and legal system. When they say withhold information, she talks about the concept of it in terms of to exclude a person from the decision-making process or knowingly or forwarding information so as to make the person less able to make an informed decision. I was often told by people in the political, in the legal arena, that most deals in courts, Brother Hackey, are not made in the courts. They're made outside the courts. They're made on golf courses. Also, I understand that from talking to folks inside the political arena is most of these illusions and decisions that have been made that we see publicly was made behind closed doors. I find that they also do that to us all the time under this concept of withhold information. Why don't you typically expand upon that concept a little bit? How does that play out from your understanding?
I think that if your mission is to achieve an objective. Obviously, those that you don't want to be part of that objective, you want to find some kind of means, some type of strategy in terms of getting them from any type of participation. And, of course, by denying people information, or denying people knowledge, then you limit their ability to impact on whatever it is that's taking place. And, of course, when they have these clubs and which restrict the clubs and which makes it impossible for people of color, particularly African people, to join them, they want to make sure that the African people don't have access to certain kinds of information. And, of course, these people can operate better, you know, when you're doing it from behind the scene. One of the things they don't want visibility. Like the old adage, you know, roaches scatter when there's light. When there's light, it's very, very difficult for them to actually achieve. Because make no mistake about it, they understand clearly implications of what they're doing. A lot of the stuff that they're doing in terms of the strategies that are geared toward undermining the development of African people or marginalize African people economically, these people understand clearly what they're doing, and they don't want people to know who they are. And so, therefore, yes, and they do understand that it's important not to make sure that people don't have access to information. But having said that, brother African, you know, even though they attempt to deny us education, there are ways in which we can find out, if not in total, what is going on, at least get enough information, you know, to do the kind of things, you know, to sort of do a wrench in the game plan. So it's incumbent upon us, you know, that we have to take upon ourselves to get to the libraries, you know, even in the context of just talking to these people, being able to read between the lines in terms of understanding clearly what's going on. And once we understand what's going on, it's not enough simply to understand, but the information has to be disseminated among other African people, and there has to be discussion in terms of what's going on. The key here, Brother Africa, is organization. That is the whole key. And, yes, these people do what they do. They strategize. They do what they got to do. And all we do, we feel the impact of the strategies that they implement, but oftentimes we don't know what those strategies were and how they actually came to fruition. So it comes upon us to go to libraries, read, and talk to people to figure out, you know, exactly what they're up to. And if at all possible, to expose those who behind the scene work, you know, to our disadvantage.
Okay, at this point in time, we'd like to invite our audience to feel free to call in tonight and share their views and comments on the nature of the discussion tonight. Tonight we are dealing with the concept of news that you can use, and there are some things that we are pondering on in terms of how they may apply to our people. We are talking about different types of techniques, tools of oppression that I would say that people use as it relates to phasing people out or oppressing people in terms of not allowing them to be a part of something. We are talking about these various, at least five techniques that people use for suppression. In this case, there was an article by the psychologist Britt S. She's a Norwegian. She wrote on how they use these techniques as it comes to women. But along with my guest, Brother Haki, we've been talking about how actually those techniques is applicable to oppression of groups in general. You are welcome to call in at 323-679-0841. That is, again, you can call in and give your views and comments on 323-679-0841. 401. Brother Hackey, now one more other technique that we spoke on earlier, I'd like for you to explain a little bit about how it plays into the oppression of our people in general and oppressed people. And this is the one to deal with heap blame or to put to shame. That means to embarrass someone or to insinuate that they are themselves to blame for their position. I mean, I think we see this all the time. Like one example she gave is that you are informed your manager that you are being slandered by a told that it's your fault since your address or your address provocative. Blame the victim. What can you say about blaming the victim?
Well, I think ridicule is part and parcel in terms of the way things generally exist. I think in particular, if you look at the portrayal of African, particularly African males, the youth, you look at how they portray, you have this archetype of, essentially, drug dealers, with these baggy clothes on, who are up to no good. And the notion being that because they are up to no good, nothing they could say could possibly have any value. And so, therefore, it's a kind of ridicule. And you constantly see this archetype being played out all the time. When you look at the movies, when you read books, when you read the newspapers, you see this archetype being played all the time in terms of the African people. And the question is why? And, of course, it's all about undermining any credibility, African people may have, and all about promoting this notion that, in fact, African people can never be serious. They never will be serious. And given their dress, then you can anticipate that nothing serious ever emanate from them. So, That's something that's been ongoing, and the ridicule is something that's been ongoing. Whereas they don't, like I said before, whereas they're not patronizing in terms of what they say to you, they achieve the same effect, differently. In this case, by promoting a certain archetype when it comes to African male youth.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, Brother Hackey, right now, that was the discussion that we had earlier, and something I thought was important that would fall on this topic in the news that people could use. We were talking about the possibility of how the U.S. government may deal with this crisis that called Social Security. We know that at this point in time, this country, this economy has collapsed, and the system is collapsing. And one of the things at this point in time, given the trillions and trillions of dollars of debt that this particular government is in, they are not being honest to the people in terms of telling them that they are spending people money and they can't pay them back. You shared with me earlier about a possibility of how they may address the problem. Will you share this particular news to our people that they may can use so they can have a better sense of what may be coming down the pipeline as it relates to their Social Security?
Well, I think the first thing people have to understand, electing Barack Obama, given the choices between Romney and Barack Obama, there's really no choice. Hands down, it has to be Barack Obama. Clearly, he's the lesser of two evils. But having said that, people should understand that electing Barack Obama is not a cure-all for the problems that people face, particularly with respect to Social Security. One of the things is that, and this is a recent article was published by this billionaire called Robert Wiedemer. He wrote this article, and as a matter of fact, he's been having a very difficult time. The mainstream media refuses to put it out there for the public to experience. But anyway, essentially, what he talks about the federal deficit being $16 trillion. That's officially. Of course, when you get interest rate, you talk about a much higher number in terms of the federal deficit, federal debt. But in any event, officially it's $16 trillion. Now, this debt is estimated to go up $1 trillion every year. Now, shortly, in a matter of 3 years, they're talking about $25 trillion in terms of debt. Now, the bottom line, the problem for the U.S. economy is they only can do one of two things in terms of that. They can either default on their debt, or they can simply increase the inflation. Now, what Robert Wiedemann is saying is that the option that they're going to take is that they're going to allow inflation to rise. In fact, by 2013, next year, they're talking about 100% inflation. And for people who don't understand what that means, inflation simply is an invisible tax. And what they're saying is you may pay $2.50 for a loaf of bread now, but next year you may be paying anywhere from $5 to $7 for a loaf of bread. So the inflation is going to increase, you know, 100%. So now the impact. Now, what that means is that when you got all this debt owed, okay, you're trying to find some way to pay it back. Inflation alone won't do it. You can inflate the currency as much as you want, but the money is only going to exacerbate the downturn of the economy. The economy is going to fall that much quicker. So what they're going to do in terms of the economy who's coming to the environment is that they're going to manipulate the consumer price index. Now the consumer price index is the index that measures, you know, cost of living, you know, food, shelter, housing, those kind of things. It measures those kind of things in society. By understanding the consumer price index, you give the impression that, in fact, that the economy is doing well and that the people are prosperous and everybody is doing well. So that allows you to cut in terms of Social Security payment. So as opposed to, say getting maybe $1,500 a month, you may be lucky if you receive $600 a month. See, the consumer price index, by lowering that consumer price index, it makes it easier for that scam. So people have to understand that even if they manipulate the consumer price index, that it has wide range of repercussions in terms of ability, you know, to receive funds for Social Security. That's the whole thing. Now the second thing is that the money for Social Security has been long spent. Right now what you have now is an IOU. Now, this IOU that the government has when it comes to Social Security, it's good. I mean, the government is in a position at least to honor some of Social Security claims through year 2032. But it has no intentions on honoring the Social Security through the year 2032 because economic is very, very difficult for them to do. In a climate in which, you know, the 1% control 90% of all the wealth of society, They cannot allow. They must destroy Social Security. Now, Barack Obama has made a pledge that he won't work with the Republicans. He, in fact, 2 years ago, he told the Republicans that he'd be willing to put Social Security on the table. In other words, he'd be willing to cut Social Security. People didn't catch that. The media didn't talk about it. So he's willing to play ball. So for people who think that Social Security is a given, that they're set, but irrespective of how much they contribute to this program, how much money they put into the program, there are no guarantees that they're going to receive any benefits in terms of Social Security. This is something that people have to understand in terms of Social Security. And Barack Obama in and of itself is not a solution that people have to understand what the issues are, and people may have to take to the street in terms of dealing with this issue. They don't have any other choice.
Okay, Brother Haki, we'd like to come to a closing. We'd like to thank you and thank our listening audience tonight on our topic night news that you can use. The purpose of this particular program tonight was no more than to provide you information so you can think. As we often tell our brothers and sisters, that without information you cannot think, and without organization you cannot think clearly. We hope that the news that we provide with you tonight is something that you can use and make your life a lot more enjoyable one and understandable one. Until next time, from Brother African and my guest, Brother Haki, we thank you on African and Rule. We'll see you at the next program. Let's go forward, Album, and backwards, Novel. Thank you. Coming from Africa on the Move.